Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 6. Maharaj Parikshit passes away. Text 29. Saisha. Vishnor Maha Maya Bhajaya Lakshana Yaya Muhyanti Asyai Vatma Bhuta Bhuteshu Guna Vritibi Saisha Vishnor Mahamaya
Saisha Vishnor Mahamaya
Bhajaya Lakshana Yaya Muyant Yasyai Vatma Bhuta
Muyant Yasyai Vatma Bhuta
Bhuteshu Guna Vritibi Saisha Vishnor Mahamaya
Saisha Vishnor Mahamaya
Bhajaya Lakshana Yaya
Bhajaya Lakshana Yaya
Muryant Yasyai Vatma Bhuta
Muryant Yasyai Vatma Bhuta
Bhuteshu Guna Vritibi
Bhuteshu Guna Vritibi
Saisha Vishnor Mahamaya
Saisha Vishnor Mahamaya
Bhajaya Lakshana Yaya
Bhajaya Lakshana Yaya
Muhyant Yasyai Vatma Bhuta
Muhyant Yasyai Vatma Bhuta
Bhuteshu Guna Vritibi Vishnu,
Vishnu,
of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, Mahamaya,
Mahamaya,
the illusory material energy. Abhadhyaya,
Abhadhyaya,
by her who cannot be checked.
By her who cannot be checked.
Alakshana,
Alakshana,
indiscernible.
Indiscernible.
Yaya,
Yaya,
by whom?
By whom?
Muhyanti,
Muhyanti,
become bewildered.
Become bewildered.
Asya,
Asya,
of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
Eva,
Eva,
indeed. Atma Bhuta,
Atma Bhuta,
the part and parcel spirit souls.
Part and parcel spirit souls.
Bhuteshu,
Bhuteshu,
within their material bodies.
Within their material bodies.
Guna,
Guna,
of the modes of nature.
Of the modes of nature.
Vritibi,
Vritibi,
by the functions.
By the functions.
Translation. This is indeed the Supreme Lord Vishnu's illusory energy, which is unstoppable and difficult to perceive. Although the individual spirit souls are part and parcel of the Lord, through the influence of this illusory energy, they are bewildered by their identification with various material bodies. Purport. The illusory energy of Lord Vishnu is so powerful that even the illustrious son of King Parikshit was temporarily misdirected. Because he was a devotee of Lord Krishna, however, his bewilderment was quickly rectified. On the other hand, an ordinary materialistic person, without the special protection of the Lord, plummets to the depths of material ignorance. Factually, materialistic persons are not interested in the protection of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, their complete ruination is inevitable. That's putting it in a very forthright way. Saisha Vishnu Mahamaya Badyaya Lakshanayaya Muyantyasyai Vatma Bhuta Bhuteshu Gunavrittibhi. This is indeed the Supreme Lord Vishnu's illusory energy, which is unstoppable and difficult to perceive. Although the individual souls are part and parcel of the Lord, through the influence of this illusory energy, they are bewildered by their identification with various material bodies. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shivati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschitya Dejitarne Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So yesterday we read 28 verses. That was a lot. Describing the actual happening of Maharaj Parikshit passing away. Very dramatic incident, very moving, and the impact it had on the people who were there when it happened, and then the others who were not there, but they heard about it shortly after. The impact it made was extremely powerful and even overwhelming. And we read how Maharaj Parikshit's son, Janmajaya, he had not been there at the time, but of course he heard about it shortly afterwards. And when he heard, my father was killed by the bite of a snake bird. Oh, that really overwhelmed him completely, totally overpowered him. And in a very natural, material type of way. Of course, he was not a materialistic person, and that is mentioned in the purport. He was a devotee, and actually, as the son of Maharaj Parikshit, who is extremely exalted devotee of the Lord, of just the highest, highest grade, as the son of Maharaj Parikshit, Janmajaya, he was also a devotee, and not just a devotee in the sense of just your typical devotee who just chants Hare Krishna and just is involved to some degree in Krishna consciousness. Janmajaya was not just your average run-of-the-mill, so to speak, devotee. He was also very great devotee. Very, very exalted, pure devotee of the Lord. So, when he heard about that, he reacted, initially at least, he reacted in a way which, at least in so many cases, you would expect from a person who is simply materialistic. Someone who's not a devotee, someone who is not spiritually conscious, spiritually aware, spiritually in tune, someone even who may not really have practically the slightest interest in anything to do with spirituality, God, etc., etc. So such a staunchly materialistic person who's really entrenched in material existence, and as a result of that naturally really holds deeply entrenched materialistic conceptions of life, Janmajaya, who was not like that, he initially at least reacted as such a person might well be expected to react. That he became, of course, extremely upset, like in an emotional sense. Then he became extremely angry. And then he became vengeful. He became vengeful. My father was killed by the bite of a snake bird. Nowadays, as far as we're aware, we don't, on this planet at least, we don't still have snake birds, along with so many other species. We have successfully managed to make them extinct, as we're continuing to do every day. But in those days there were apparently snake birds. Means some type of snake. But extremely, very powerful, very special type of snake. The poison was so strong. We mentioned yesterday that, we read, when Maharaj Parikshit was bitten by the snake bird, the effect of the poison was so extremely powerful that his body, Maharaj Parikshit's body, burst into flames. And then, just in a matter of a moment or so, all that was left was a pile of ashes. And we mentioned yesterday how poison, in material terms, the action of poison, there's so many different types of poison, and sometimes people somehow take some poison and then they die. So poison, the action of poison, is in terms of the material element fire. It somehow or other agitates the fire, the presence of fire, the subtle presence of fire within the body, and the body overheats. And then overheats very, very drastically, and then becomes unable to continue functioning and stops. So Janmajaya, then the son of Maharaj Parikshit, hearing about this, he reacted initially as many materialistic people, you would assume they would react. First of all, very upset he lost his father. Then very angry that it happened in this way. It didn't have to happen. Someone was responsible for it. And then revenge against the person who was responsible. So his form of revenge was not just, You know, he went out with some weapon to get the person. But he acted on, you could say, a higher level materially. He started a fire sacrifice. A special fire sacrifice, which has the result that snakes, it draws snakes. Snakes just find themselves just being subtly dragged in the direction of the fire. And then before they know it, they're just being plunged into the fire, and that's it. So, you know, it's a lot more effective than declaring a jihad and then sending out people all over the world to kill whoever the people are you don't like. Death to all the Americans. But just through a fire sacrifice, Janmajaya was in the process of killing all the snakes in the universe. It was happening. And so many snakes were just coming flying in and just being incinerated in that fire sacrifice. Except for the particular snake in question, Takshaka, the snake bird. Except for him, all the other snakes were just out of control and were just being consumed in that sacrificial fire. So Janmajaya became a little perplexed, and he asked the Brahmins, the priests, who were in the process of performing the fire sacrifice, he asked them, why? All the other snakes are being drawn in here, why not Takshaka? And the Brahmins explained that it is because he has taken shelter of Lord Indra, the demigod, king of the demigods. And he has been given some sort of magical elixir which extends the life of a person or extends the life of the body of a person. Somehow or other, the tissues and cells and whatever makes up the body becomes empowered. And therefore the same body is able then to live much longer and comfortably live much longer and much, much longer. Millions of years. So the priests explained to Maharaj Janmajaya, this is what's happened. He's protected by Indra, and so that's it. So Janmajaya said, okay, if that's the case, then let us get Indra also. And while we're at it, let's get all of Indra's associates, all the demigods. So they chanted a particular mantra, which goes, Takshakashu patasveha sahendrena marutvata. O Takshaka, fall immediately into this fire together with Indra and his entire host of demigods. Just see how powerful these persons are compared to today. It's really the technology which is available and the intellect which is available is so much lower level than in Vedic times. So simply through chanting this mantra, suddenly Indra in the heavenly planets and all his associates up there with him suddenly found they were just tossed out of their airplanes and their situations, and now they're all just plummeting down to be consumed in the fire. So then, as we read yesterday, Brihaspati, who is the spiritual master of the demigods and himself a great devotee and extremely knowledgeable and broad-minded person, Brihaspati approached Janmajaya and told him, "You're killing all these snakes. Many of them are innocent. They just happen to be moving around doing their snake thing. They had nothing to do with your father's death at all. They maybe didn't even know about it in the slightest. They never heard about him. And suddenly they're being killed because you are angry with one snake. All these other innocent, apparently innocent snakes are now dying. Plus also here, you want to kill this Takshaka, but his position is such that at this stage he cannot be killed. Even though he has a material body, and he will die in due course, but at this stage he cannot be killed because two reasons: because he's protected by Indra, and secondly, because he has drunk this particular elixir which dramatically extends the life of any person who drinks it. So, and then Brihaspati made very interesting and very Krishna conscious point that the life and death of an embodied soul and his or her destination in the next life, they're all caused by themselves, by their own previous activities. And therefore we should understand, in anybody's situation of happiness or distress or anything, in anybody's situation in life, no one is responsible for their situation other than themselves. Others may appear to be responsible in just a very superficial, material sense. Others may appear to be responsible, but they're not. They're not really responsible at all. So therefore, what to speak of all these other relatively innocent snakes? But even Takshaka himself should not really be blamed. But it was just the arrangement of the Lord for your father, and as a result of certain things which happened previously in the life of your father, this is how it's happened. So therefore this whole idea of revenge and getting back at the person who was apparently responsible, this is just big mistake. It's a big mistake. It's actually wrong. It's not just... So anyway, it's wrong. You're doing the wrong thing. And in this way, actually, because you're doing the wrong thing, inevitably, you're creating offense and you're creating a wrong future yourself. So stop. So this is one of the very, is a very important point and very foundational type of point in spiritual life, in Krishna consciousness. Not to, as we say sometimes, not to be too fast, too quick to externalize the blame for whatever things happen to us. Well, all of us, every day, different things are happening. And sometimes some big things happen. And sometimes some big things happen, like here with Maharaj Parikshit, which apparently outside of his control, even to the point of just being imposed upon him unfairly. So all of us, everyone in their lives, everyone, in order to become properly situated on the spiritual platform, everybody needs to understand this point, that we are responsible. We are responsible for what happens to us. And whatever happens to us, there's no one really to take it up with other than the person themselves. Do we have the 10th canto part 1 there? What's that verse? 10:14:8? Second volume, is that the second volume? Which of course I know very well, but I just forgot. Okay. What's that verse? 10:14:8. Anyway, how does it begin? Yes, tatena kampam susa mikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. And that, how does it go from there? Ridvag vapubia ridias something something jivetu yo mukti pade sabat dayabak. Yes, something like that. Can you read us the translation?
My dear Lord, one who is earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering your respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful.
Isn't that nice? Isn't that interesting? So this is really the perspective of the devotee and Brihaspati, who's very wise and very knowledgeable and is a devotee, so he understands the situation. Brihaspati is helping Janmajaya with this, that really a devotee, whatever situation a devotee gets into, and of course particularly, you know, good situations, it's a lot easier to deal with them usually. But bad situations, very drastic bad situations, that's much more difficult to deal with. So in that verse, it's Lord Brahma speaking. And Lord Brahma is expressing the ideal consciousness of the devotee when there's some trying situation. That the devotee should just offer respects to the Lord, and pray that, my Lord, you please be merciful to me, and take it that all these things, whatever's going on, whatever is happening to me, it's all coming because of my previous material activities. Therefore, there's nobody to blame other than me. But despite everything, I'll stick at the lotus feet of the Lord and not get swayed and just go on to my own program of activity and just assert myself and assert my rights. And you know how people are not allowed to treat me like that, and if they do, they'll pay the price by my arrangement. No, but we should take it that due to my foolishness in the past, these things are coming to me. So let me tolerate the results of my foolishness while remaining fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord in the service of the Lord. So Lord Brahma is saying there in that verse that anyone who does like that, then they become fit for liberation, or actually fit for going back to Godhead, because it has become their rightful claim, or sometimes that is translated as become their rightful inheritance. So a similar Brihaspati is explained in similar ways here, and Janmajaya, because he is a devotee and actually he knows these things, he's been brought up a devotee and thoroughly educated as a devotee, and he knows the explanations of practically any type of situation you may get into, and so therefore he's ready for practically any situation to meet it in Krishna consciousness and not just become carried away and come down onto the irrational material level. Because Janmajaya is such a devotee, therefore he was immediately able to accept, yes, you're right, I got carried away, and correct himself and become properly situated again. So this is very nice. Actually, this is very helpful, because this, being the material world, from time to time, it is more or less inevitable that each one of us sitting here in this room today, and just everyone anyway, but all of us, without exception, from time to time, we will be faced with some sort of very challenging situation. Something like this. It may be in some quite different way, but something which challenges us so strongly, just like Janmajaya was challenged. So in these types of situations, well, as we read and we mentioned, materialistic people, they're not inclined to accept such ideas. They don't accept ideas like that. It doesn't make sense to them. They can't see how it could be. To them it seems just like, you know, just some sort of baseless belief, just some sort of concoction which doesn't really have a connection to reality as they know it. And therefore they think it's just like a crutch, it's just some artificial thing. And people may just believe these things in such situations just to somehow help them deal with it, but it's not true. It's actually foolishness. It's ignorance. So people who think like that, in this sort of situation, if someone like Brihaspati were to come and try to advise them, stop this, then they would say, no. You know, just like the Americans in World War II, they decided, let's just bomb Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And none of the Japanese government people were there. It was just people, just your average person, and living their lives. And suddenly they were just wiped out. And even I read some time ago, there was some fellow, he was from, I think one of the two cities was blown up first, and then a couple of days later the other city was blown up. So the one fellow, he was from the first city, but he went to visit relatives in the second city. And when he heard the first city got blown up, He thought, wow, I would have been there. But somehow or other, here I am visiting relatives. And then they bombed the second city where he was. But he survived that also. Anyway. Yes. So revenge. Let's just wipe out the nation. Let's just wipe out the nation. Revenge, sweet revenge. So people like this, people who think like this, and therefore they go and attack the offenders, and you know, you get these family feuds in some parts of the world. Family feuds which have been going on for hundreds of years. And someone kills someone from one family, so someone from the other family comes and kills someone from the first family. It just goes back and forth and back and forth. So this is material life. This is very, like a very strong manifestation of material consciousness, material attitudes, and what happens in material life. But for devotees, it's different. So Janmajaya, such a devotee, he was able to accept, yes. It was certainly not the fault of all the snakes. It was not the fault of Indra. And it was not even the fault of Takshaka, who was the snake who bit my father and killed him. It wasn't even his fault. It was the arrangement of the Lord. And it was something from my father's past. And by the arrangement of the Lord, all these things came together. So he became pacified by the good instruction of Brihaspati and by the fact that his consciousness was protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna gives the intelligence. Tesham satati yuktanam bhajatam priti purvikam tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupiyantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding how they can come to me. So of course this is an essential part of the understanding by which we may be able to come to Krishna, to be able to deal with such situations in Krishna consciousness without just becoming carried away, bewildered, angry, destructive, negative, and materialistic, without falling down into just like plain material consciousness. So the devotee is given intelligence by Krishna. So very interesting point that is brought out in the verse and is brought out particularly in the purport is that even though Janmajaya, the son of Maharaj Parikshit, even though he was great personality and great devotee, because of the immediate impact of the situation, there was this initial reaction of his. A little later, by the mercy of the Lord, by the mercy of the devotee, Brihaspati, and by intelligence given by Krishna, he was able to come to his senses. But initially, there was this extreme and very material-looking reaction from a great devotee. This is an interesting point, isn't it? Sometimes people think that great devotees are people who you just put them in any situation, extreme material situation, and they will all, if you put a number of them in such a situation together, they will all just spontaneously act in the same way. just purely, there will be a Krishna conscious way of reacting, one, and they will all just react in exactly the same way, because they're all just great pure devotees. But it's not really the case. It's not really the case. First of all, every living entity is an individual. Every living entity is an individual. And even in some Krishna conscious situation, not to speak of some extreme material situation, even in a Krishna conscious, like perplexing or deep Krishna conscious situation, you may get different great devotees who feel it should be addressed in different ways, because everybody's an individual. And it's not that when a person becomes fully Krishna conscious, they just become like robots or just machines. You just press the button and they just react in the set way, the Krishna conscious way. Like with a computer, you press the A button, you just get an A. So you press the Krishna conscious button, you just get Krishna consciousness. It's not necessarily so simple. Who of you, you're all nice devotees, you've all been around for a while, who of you can tell us a similar situation, very similar situation, in Srimad Bhagavatam involving different people, and but in principle the situation, in many ways the situation was really practically the same. And there was also, from the main character who's great pure devotee, there was also some extreme reaction. Yes. Okay. Dhruva Maharaj, in the fourth canto, his brother was killed by a yaksha. And Dhruva, just, you know, in some unfair way, whatever it may have been. And Dhruva Maharaj, when he heard that, wow, he became just so overwhelmed. He declared war on the whole Yaksha race. And he was attacking them and slaughtering them. And then I think it was Manu came, was it? Swayambhuva Manu, I think, came. And the same thing, explained to him the same point. Don't blame them, particularly these others. You know, maybe you could, perhaps you could blame the particular yaksha who was responsible, but not the whole race of them. And even the one who was actually responsible, still you have to see the situation from the same perspective. The hand of the Lord is there, our karma is there, and the arrangement of the Lord is there. So then Dhruva Maharaj also became pacified. And actually there are other situations also. In the Bhagavatam and in our scriptures, there are other situations of that type. So it's a very interesting point. People are people. People do not become machines. And different people have different attitudes, even in Krishna consciousness. If you ask a cowherd boy in Goloka Vrindavan, would you like to rasa dance with Krishna? Then he will say, what? No, I don't want to do that. Why would I do that? But you ask a gopi, would you like to go out and herd the cows with Krishna? Well, they might. But they'd rather rasa dance with Krishna. And similarly, Mother Yashoda, if you ask her, would you like to rasa dance with Krishna? She would think, what? This is completely improper. And I would certainly not do such a thing. So, different devotees have different perspectives and attitudes within Krishna consciousness, even on the same situation. Another similar, well, it's actually sort of the same situation, is there in the first canto, in I think chapter 9, is it? Where Ashvatthama kills the sleeping sons, the children of Draupadi, her five sons, while they were sleeping, and they were just children. So Ashvatthama came and killed them. And everyone got angry. At least so many people got angry. Even Krishna got really angry. And they captured Ashvatthama. And they're now discussing, what should we do with him? And Krishna said, just kill him. Just kill him. Even Krishna said. And the other, you know, Arjuna, Bhima, so many of them were saying, just kill him. Just kill him in some terrible way so he really feels it. You know, don't just hang him and he's just gone in a second. Burn him to death one match at a time. Or something extreme. But then Draupadi herself, the mother of the children who were killed, because she was really Krishna conscious, she said, no, don't do that, because if you do that, Ashvatthama's mother will suffer like I'm suffering, and I couldn't see that. It would be intolerable for me that she ends up suffering as I'm suffering. So anyway, they figured out, it's all quite complex, but they figured out how to kill him without killing him. As a Kshatriya, to embarrass him so badly that it would be a fate worse than death. So, yes, Maharaj Janmajaya, because he's a person, and because his father was so dear to him, and his father was such an exalted devotee, and this demoniac rascal comes and kills his father, so naturally, in a certain sense, naturally he's feeling, let's just get him. But then, when his Krishna consciousness becomes more stabilized, then he understands, actually, no, we shouldn't do that. It's the will of the Lord, what can we do? Let's just carry on in Krishna consciousness. Carry on happily in Krishna consciousness. Whereas a materialistic person in such a situation, oh, so many of them, they would just go and kill and smash and brutalize and kill the children of the people responsible and do all sorts of terrible things. So by the mercy of the Lord, the devotee, of course it depends on the level of the devotee, but particularly as the devotee becomes more advanced, by the mercy of the Lord, the devotee gets the intelligence how to deal with situations in ways which are actually really positive and beneficial, and not just some emotional, psychological reaction. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Yes.
What does the Vedic literature say about Takshaka's future, since to kill a devotee is Vishnavapana?
Yes, well, it doesn't. The literatures we have don't say exactly. But, yeah, your point is correct. Even though it was the will of the Lord, and maybe, you know, Maharaj Parikshit, some special thing in regards to him. But still, Takshaka is responsible. So, there would have been something in the future for Takshaka too. Exactly what, like I say, we don't know, but what goes around comes around. And he would not be an exception to the rule. He's not like a Kshatriya fighting in battle and killing in battle. It's just, you know, very brutal murder. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Just one announcement. Yesterday, Ananda Magari Mataji was staged in the temple, suffered a mild heart attack.
Really?
So we'll be rushing it to hospital.
Oh, okay.
So please pray for him.
Okay. Hare Krishna.